97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Oh, yeah, we're getting into the weekend here. Jane on the panel, State Rep Steve Butts, Gene Evans as well. Or should I say Knucklehead Steve Butts? Can we call you a knucklehead just like Tim Walz? What did you think of the Veep debate, Steve? I'll let you start on this one.
I'm glad you're going to let me start on Mark, because I did it two ways. I listened to it live on the radio, and I thought, this is my first hunch, I thought the first question out was a brutal first question. Would you authorize a preemptive strike against Iran, you know, to help Israel? I'm like, holy cow, no 1 minute opening remarks. And to that point, you know, Walz had to go first.
Yeah.
And so he just answered the question, tough question. So that whole deer in the headlights thing, I'm like, are you kidding me? So this whole thing that you think they're
on the
inside
awkward.
Giving them the questions, they didn't give them that question, not first. And did not have the 1 minute who you are. Then, of course, JD, he's terrific, right? He's a good debater. And then he uses the first minute.
He introduced
to introduce
himself,
myself to America.
Anyway. Yeah.
And he
still answered the question.
So he did, and he did. So I would say of every, I was so glad you asked me this, because when I heard your analysis, I'm like, this was, I thought, one of the best substantive high-level debates. Normally, these things, to me, they're dog and pony shows. Nobody answers questions. They had a good back and forth.
They did.
I liked the way they called each other Tim and JD. I liked the way they shook hands.
Yes.
I liked the way
the wives came on afterwards.
They were adults.
I liked all of it, and I thought that was terrific. Yeah, were there bad moments? I would say the worst moment, which you didn't emphasize, when Vance can't say Trump lost the election.
That's
I don't see
problem.
How any of y'all get past that. I mean, to me, that's just, you got to get past it. And I know they're like, well, if he says the truth, then, you know, I guess Trump will throw him off the ticket.
The polling on that, if you look at the polling on that, majority of Republicans and almost 50% of Democrats think that there were problems in that election.
It's not what you're saying. Were there problems? Some.
Of course. Well,
some. Did it move the needle?
No.
Okay.
Did it move the needle?
Did not change to the point.
Been,
then I phrased it incorrectly, because I was shocked when I saw the numbers. And I've seen that polling a couple of times, that a good number of Americans think that maybe Biden didn't really win. They don't like January 6th. They want to move on. I agree with you. But I don't think that is as big of a bite. If you were hung up on his answer to that, you were never going to vote for that ticket.
Did it change everybody's mind? I don't think so. I'm just saying, I thought it was, at that high level, I thought it was a pretty substantive debate.
Right.
And I liked the tenor. And most of them, you know, both times, they did kind of answer the questions.
Well, J.D. Vance is the face of the new Republican Party.
My scorecard was, and Steve, I'm going to agree with you, I thought that J.D. Vance pretty much smoked him on everything except for two issues. I think the abortion issue, he did not handle very well, and I think that that's not going to go well for Republicans. Look, I was, my wife was talking to a good friend of ours who's in North Carolina. Her husband's very conservative. She is too, the wife. She ain't voting for Trump because of that issue. Now, I don't know how many people are going to be like that. But also, he didn't handle the stolen election question very well, Steve. I would agree with you. And I don't know, to your point, Gene, that's not going to probably affect Republicans. But if he would have said something in the other direction, of course, then it becomes the big story of the debate. I don't know how you handle that. I'm not a stolen election guy. I think we should move on and sort of focus on this election. And that's basically what he said.
If he wants to be the face of the new Republican Party, he needs to get out of the past and that nonsense.
But to Gene's point, a lot of people don't trust the process.
But they're not going to vote for Kamala.
Right. But in fairness, Jane, I have 20 minutes of a montage of people on your side calling 2016 illegitimate.
Right. Back for years. I mean, that is. So, but J.D. Vance was able to articulate conservative positions. He introduced himself to the American people, who many of whom had only heard that he was this evil, whatever, making fun of middle-aged cat women or whatever else they had said about him. And I think he came off very well, both for himself and for the ticket. Does it move the needle? What I think it moves the needle on is, I don't think we really have undecided voters in terms of which candidate. I think they're undecided on whether they're actually going to vote or not.
Yes.
Right.
So they're
I
deciding.
Agree with that.
And so if they hear that and they're kind of like, I don't really like Trump, but he picked this guy, and this guy seems really normal, and he's young, and he's a new generation, and I understood what he was saying, and he's not. maybe I can, you know, hold my nose and vote for Trump because I really don't like Kamala. But if they are leaning towards Kamala, it's not going to bring him back. Like that's just.
I just don't think people care that much about the VP. I think
they do when people are shooting at the presidential candidate, you know, every 3 months.
Maybe. I mean, or that he's old and decrepit. But I mean, you know, I think that it, you know, Kamala, like nobody went off of Joe Biden because of Kamala. I don't think the vice president.
Okay, well, yeah, traditionally this doesn't change anything.
But I also
think, when the margins are so narrow, though, to Gene's, I think it may have
maybe,
an impact.
Maybe, but I also think that people did like the tenor of the debate. I have to agree
sure.
with Steve.
Everyone I've talked to.
Everyone.
Said
it didn't matter what side you were on. You were like, this is how adults act. And
I
this
had
is what
several,
they should do.
Several people, we probably all did. And I've heard national people say the same thing on, you know, some of the panels in the aftermath of the debate. People were saying, wait a second, why can't these two be at the top of the ticket?
Yeah.
Although I don't think I'd give you that on Tim Walz. And he did better as the thing moved along.
Yes.
But then you get to the Tiananmen Square question, and it was awkward, horrible. He lied. I mean, he's caught in the lie. He doesn't handle it well. He calls himself a knucklehead. That was weird. You know, he wants to call people weird. That was weird.
No, it was weird. I don't understand. It's not just Tim Walz on that example. There's lots of examples of these people that embellish their life stories. To what end? It's easily verified. I'm like, I don't know why he just didn't say,
you get nervous,
I lied,
and you say something stupid, right?
And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I need to move on, and I have moved on, and that's not me. I get how you can say that, but he did that long 90-second,
yeah,
you
didn't
know,
work.
I'm from Nebraska, and I'm a football coach and a teacher thing. I'm like, yeah, but you weren't at Tiananmen Square when you said you were. I just say that.
Well, that was the only thing they called him out on. He's got other things, too, that they could have, but he didn't handle it well. They didn't press him too hard, but they did let him sink, and oftentimes these commentators sort of rescue the Democrat candidates.
Well, Gene, let's talk about that, because this was another situation. I didn't enter this debate thinking it would be any other way, because I know Norah O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan, what they're all about, but it was so obvious when they, you know, they come out of the gate with the climate, you know, question. It's not about the people who need help in North
right.
Carolina. It's about climate change. And then they have to, you know, Nora's got to say something at the end of that exchange. And when J.D. Vance had to correct them, look, we can talk about this right now because it is a Kamala, you know, magic wand that makes the people, the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, legal, because it's a paperwork check. That's all
right.
It is. So they came here illegally. Can we just call it the way it is? You can get into semantics and, you know, if you're a moderator on a national debate stage, you can make your point. But J.D. Vance had every right to say, look, here's the clarification on that. And I don't know if that resonated with the American people, but he was right about that.
He was. He's 100% right. I'm glad that he at least got some of that in. And, you know, we have a mutual friend whose daughter was killed in Haiti by these gangs. And he's been there several times. He's a state rep. Coming back on these planes, he told me, Gene, they are scooping up Haitians that they have not vetted. They are gang members. I'm sure there are good families in there, too, but there is a zero vetting process for coming from what is arguably one of the least civilized places.
Really? On the planet.
And living a completely different lifestyle. And they're just bringing them in, giving them legal status, and then plopping them down here in the middle, in some of these areas where there's just overrun by people who don't really have a way to sustain their lives and don't, you know, and we don't know anything about them. So you could have 50 great families, but if you've got one maniac in there, it just kind of spoils the whole bunch, right? Because they're going to do their thing. And so we've got to do a better job of vetting. I was so glad he said that. I bet there were many, many people who heard that and had no idea what he was talking about. It's the first time they've ever heard it.
Of course. But I think this goes to everything else we talked about earlier. You know, I've said this a few times where I think there's a lot of people, and this may be the deciding factor in the election. There's a lot of people that are looking at all of these scenarios, whether it's across the, you know, the other side of the planet with what's happening in Israel or Ukraine and the billions of dollars. And I know that we've always shipped money and a lot of these comes in arms that do result, even our community here, with Boeing, right? But
right.
The perception is, and the optics, if we go back to that word again, is there are a lot of people in this country, and this is going to be, I think, amplified with North Carolina, that feel like, hey, we're the taxpayers. Where are we being prioritized?
Right.
We see the migrants being
forgotten
prioritized.
Man. That's what,
right? They're getting hotel rooms mm-hmm. in New York City. We're seeing Ukraine being prioritized and Israel. What about the American people? And I think that is a strong, strong issue right now moving into the next few weeks.
It is. But when you take a look at, you know, I think you have to also have a longer view that say we do have a national security interest in what happens in Ukraine. We most certainly do with what happens in Israel. So, you know, I don't see how you can combine those two things. things. Yeah. American citizens, when they're in need, should be at the front of the line. I don't deny that at all. Our immigration process, it's been messed up for a long time. It doesn't appear that in Springfield, Ohio, though, it is as bad as was initially, you know, came out from the Trump debate.
Well, I guess it depends on who you talk to there, and I don't think any of us know what it's really like there on the ground. But I've got to push back on this. It's been bad for. We have never had this many migrants coming across. We have never seen this kind of crime, including a local police officer who was killed by an illegal migrant. Mm-hmm. We have never had it this, and the hundreds of thousands of murderers, rapists, sexual assaulters that are here that they know about. That's the ones they know about. And they're like, well, they've come in over here. Who cares when they came in? Get them out of here. And don't tell me they're sitting in our jails. I don't even want them in my jails. I don't want taxpayers paying for them. Get them out of this country. They don't belong here. They're criminals. They do not belong here.
And he should have been gone. And the guy who killed the cop, he committed his crime in 2020. And the Trump administration, Tim Lomar in St. Charles, sent it to Homeland Security and never heard another word. So there's been plenty to go around on that. But I agree with you. I don't want to pay money for a trial for this guy. I don't want to pay for him to be incarcerated. Amen. I don't want any of that.
Because he's not entitled to those.
There should be a fast track, plane, bus, whatever it is, out of Dodge. I get that it's impossible to deport everybody at the same time, but why can't we start with criminals?
Thank you for being on our side here. I appreciate that, Jane. Thank
everybody,
you.
That would pull at 99%.
Absolutely. Gene Evans, Jane Duker, Steve Butts, all on the panel. Let's just talk about the Senate landscape, which might be getting interesting. I was watching the Brewers in the Mets game last night. Unfortunately, I wasn't happy with the result. I was rooting for the Brewers, but there were national ads that were running during that game last night, and I don't know if it was maybe a regional thing because, you know, you could have the middle part of the country and not the coast affected, but they were running ads both sides in Wisconsin for the Eric Hovday and Tammy Baldwin. Tammy Baldwin is the Democrat incumbent up there. And there's interesting reporting today, even by Axios, not exactly a conservative publication, the Democrats are nervous about that Senate race. Well, let me tell you something. If that Senate race is close and it might go to Hovday, that's going to mean Trump's going to win Wisconsin.
And she did not appear with Kamala Harris when she was in town. So, Tammy, is it Tammy Baldwin?
Tammy Baldwin, yeah.
Yeah, did not appear there. So, yeah, that's my understanding. They're basically within the margin of error up there. She's got way more money, as they do in most of these Senate races. The Democrats have more money. Harris has more money. They're way more money on the Democrat side this year as far as all these elections, but Republicans are going to win Montana.
Well, look, McCormick did a debate last night, and I hear he did very well as well in Pennsylvania.
And he's a great candidate.
He's better than Oz, right?
Right. And it's so hard to know with this polling. I mean, if you say, well, if you compare to how off they were in 2016, well, hopefully they've changed their polling. But one of the things I've noticed it here in some local races we've polled, but also looking nationally, they seem to be under-polling white men. And my guess is white guys are probably just not doing the poll. It's not that they're not going to vote. They're just like, I don't have time for this crap. It's none of your business. And they tend to show up for Republicans when time comes. That could make a difference. And there are a lot more early voting. The early voting thing has evened out, so there are more Republicans voting early. Is that going to translate to wins? I don't know. I do know the Democrats have now and have for a long time have a much better ground game. So no matter what the polling is, when it comes
that's
to
one
the
of my concerns, that Trump does not have the infrastructure with the ground
not.
Game, and that worries me. It does.
Especially in swing states.
Yeah, I know.
Both, whether we're talking Missouri or even nationwide, we do have a better ground game. That's for sure. The polling thing, I'm like,
I'm just saying
it's over my pay grade, but I'm like, it's so wrong so many times, and it's right occasionally. I'm like, I don't even get the point of polls, so I'm sure I'm an outlier politically on that. But, you know, when you say, I get them these unsolicited text messages, do I want to take your poll? I block it.
I tried to take one. I got a text a couple of days ago, and I've been blocking and deleting too, but one of them I pressed, okay, and it said Missouri issues. So I pressed the link, and then it never took me to the actual poll. So you wonder if the technology is even working all the time there. Let me, just before we get to a break here, we have one more segment to go, but I just have to talk about our elections in Missouri, because is there a governor's race, Steve, or anything else going on?
I was just in a fundraiser with Crystal Quaid last night, and a lovely event.
Who's she? She's the Democrat running for... I do, but nobody else knows who she is.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Democrats know who she is. Republicans know who she is.
Yeah,
normal voters don't know who she is.
Considering we've been unable to be successful statewide for a good long while, this is this woman. She is an exceptional young woman. She has been 8 years in the House. She's been the longest serving minority floor leader. I like everything about her, and I've been pushing her hard for a long time. She's a unique, highly qualified individual who comes from rural Southwest Missouri running as a Democrat. I mean, there's just
Gene, do we like her or not? Do we like her? I don't know, because I don't know her. I'll make you.
She's
you
a
make
friend
the call.
Of mine. Okay. I like her personally.
So we like her. Okay, she's just crazy.
I don't
like Tish.
Her,
okay.
Her views. And you know,
Jane, do you usually you're being suspiciously quiet on this.
No, I mean I don't think it's going to be. I think it might be closer than usual, but I think Mike Kehoe wins.
I think Kehoe wins by
15.
Even back to the polling, we've seen polling in some Senate districts where Kehoe is outperforming Trump by 4 to 6 points. So
I believe that.
Yeah, I believe
that
too.
And also way more
and
money.
Should.
And he had that primary, so his name ID is way up there. So
yeah, you were just talking about money. You know, how much money does Kehoe have in this race versus Crystal Quaid?
Yeah,
way more money.
Maybe
more
20
money.
Million to 1 million, something like that.
But is he even having to spend it?
This guy's taking the election so seriously, you cannot talk to him about anything after
November.
Okay, well,
good. I mean, that's a smart tactic for
sure. He's not hiring staff. He's not talking transition team. He's not talking policy. And if you bring it up, you get shushed.
You know what? Good for Mike Kehoe. I love that. Yes, thank you for telling me that. I was unaware. Hang on. We got one more segment to go. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon.
Get more at 971talk.com.